You have your copy of God's Word, if you would, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we'll read verse 31 before Brother Mike's sermon. 1 Corinthians 10:31. So whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God.
Good morning. What a beautiful day and a lot of bright, shining faces present to worship God. So glad to see you. So glad to see you. To that I add, fasten your safety belts, put on your crash helmets, and if you need a five-hour energy drink, go ahead and gulp one down quickly. We don't normally do that, but we will encourage you to do that if it will help with alertness and attention. Happy Father's Day to those of you who are fathers. You know, if you were to ask Jesus what would be the word that came to his mind every time he thought about God, Father would have likely been the first thing. How grateful we should be for good fathers, for Christian dads. All right. If you do not have a copy of the Sunday update, raise your hand if you would like one. One of the main reasons why is because the back of our update each week contains a place for you to take notes concerning the sermon. I especially would encourage you to do that. If you'd like one, raise your hand. Several of our men are getting those out. A church never says more about itself and its love for Jesus and His will than in its desire to have shepherds who lead like the Good Shepherd. A church will never say more about itself, about its love for Jesus and His will, than in its desire to have shepherds, elders, who shepherd like the Good Shepherd. And so that idea of shepherding like Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is so crucial. It's so necessary if the church is going to be what God wants it to be and what He designed it to be. Over the years, the church here at Westside has been especially blessed. We have been blessed, I believe, with shepherds who truly sought to reflect the Good Shepherd in their shepherding. Now, being mere humans, I'm sure sometimes they would say they made mistakes. But no one could question, all in all, as far as I know, how our shepherds here at Westside over the years have sought to shepherd, to elder, to lead, understanding that they needed to lead the way the Good Shepherd Jesus would have them. John 10, verses 11 through 18. Now, especially has that been true in more recent times. I'm going to ask our two elders, our two shepherds, to stand at this time, if you don't mind, if you would. Lynn Mayfield in the darker colored jacket, Terry Pafford in the lighter colored. And for a number of years, these two brothers have served together as shepherds of the congregation. You may be seated. Due to health concerns, Brother Mayfield has let it be known that he is going to need to step aside. He's going to need to step aside. Transitions happen. The years go by. And this is due to health concerns that he has. And I believe that we can love and respect the service that he has rendered to God and to the church at Westside over the years. I know I appreciate that. What I want you to see is this. we have a phenomenal opportunity. We have a phenomenal opportunity. And I hope and I pray that you will think of it that way. We have a phenomenal opportunity for at least three reasons. Number one, we have a phenomenal opportunity to add additional men who will show the desire to reflect Jesus, the Good Shepherd, in their shepherding. That's a phenomenal opportunity. Anytime that can happen in a congregation, that should be something that excites us. And we're going to honor someone who was recently baptized into Christ at camp just a few days ago at the end of our service. That's wonderful. We need to rejoice with those that rejoice. But I tell you what, it is phenomenal when a congregation so displays its love for Jesus and His will that they determine that in the leadership, men will be selected who will shepherd like the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. That's amazing. What an opportunity. You know, Ephesians 5, 15 through 17 talks about opportunity. It talks about redeeming the time and understanding what the will of the Lord is. This is a golden moment, brothers and sisters. Some decisions we make are inconsequential. Some decisions that we make matter, but not in the eternal scheme of things. But decisions that we make congregationally as to the type of men who will shepherd the Lord's flock here at Westside, that is a big decision. It matters. It matters. Because Jesus wants there to be shepherds in local churches who will shepherd like Him. But secondly, this is an opportunity to positively influence the future of this congregation, not just for years to come, but for decades. This is an opportunity to positively influence this congregation, and not just this congregation, but to influence this congregation, not just for the immediate future, but long term, Lord willing. If this old world should stand, the decisions that we will make over the next several weeks can have such a positive influence in the life of Westside. Think about things that have happened in recent years. Men that this congregation has sent out to preach, men that this church has helped support by preacher training. Think of the work done in benevolence. Think of the work done in evangelism and the emphasis on souls. Think about the work that's been done in educating in Bible classes, our young people, everything from pew packers to camps to the Bible classes, etc. Think of all these things. And that influence can continue to be positive and perhaps even grow because this is a golden opportunity. But third, here's another reason why we need to see the opportunity and seize it. It'll impact eternity. By our seizing the opportunity to make sure to do all that we can as people who love Jesus and His Word, doing all that we can to encourage leaders to come together who will lead like the Good Shepherd, it will impact eternity. I am absolutely convinced that there will be people in heaven because of the efforts of this congregation. I am convinced that there are people whose hearts and lives have been indelibly touched and helped and encouraged by this church. There are few decisions that make an eternal impact like this one. That's why we need to approach it positively and with great confidence in the grace of God to see us through. I want to say this. Over the last number of years, every challenge and every goal that has ever been presented to this church, you have responded to positively. And God has blessed us abundantly. I cannot think, quite honestly, of one time when a goal or challenge wasn't met. And I feel exactly the same way about this. Now, you can be kind of like I was initially and have several sleepless nights. You're waking up and all you can do is pray. Or you can go ahead and bypass the anxiety part and go straight to the thankfulness and the trust and realize that the same God who has brought us this far is able to get us through this and to get us safely home. Amen. What I want to do is let you know that a few days ago I sent a text message out to 8 very special friends, brothers who preached a long time. A number of them are elders themselves. A number of them teach in schools. A number of them really have a great background in leadership. And I asked them this question: what is the most overlooked factor in the process of adding additional shepherds? What is the most overlooked factor in adding additional shepherds in a congregation? Their answers will be in a bulletin article this week. Be looking, because it was pure gold. It was gold. All 8 guys responded to me in a matter of a couple of hours, and 7 out of the 8 said, "You know, Mike, nobody's ever asked me that question before." The sermon this morning is my response to the question: what is the most overlooked factor in the selection of elders that may take away from us really adding shepherds who will shepherd like the good shepherd? And here's the answer. The rules of engagement need to be stated clearly, biblically, and wisely. The rules of engagement need to be stated clearly, wisely, and biblically. Here are 7 responses, 7 principles. What is it that can be overlooked at the beginning? The rules of engagement. 7 principles. I want to look at that expression, rules of engagement. Let's break it down. Rules. That means that there are principles of conduct and behavior that will guide us throughout this process. There are principles of conduct, how we speak and behavior, how we act, that must guide us through this process. Rules. Disorder and chaos will not be allowed to be part of this process. This is not a political election. This isn't about who can kiss the most babies, pat the most backs, etc. This is about looking for individuals who will seek to shepherd the flock of God like the good shepherd. That's what it's about. Rules. And we will show conduct and behavior as a congregation in a way that shows we love the good shepherd and his will. Amen. And if you're not going to, please keep your mouth shut and stay out of it. If your conduct and behavior is going to be less than God-honoring, stay out of it. See, I don't have anything to gain by this. I don't want to become an elder. I've been through this process 8 to 10 times as a preacher. I've worked under 67 different elders. And I praise God and thank God for them all. But there needs to be ground rules. There needs to be rules of engagement. And this rule of engagement is biblical to the core. Whether you eat or drink, in your speech and in your behavior, do all to the glory of God as we go through the process of adding, of acknowledging more men as shepherds. Number two, engagement. Rules of engagement. This is a participatory thing. This is something that the church should be one on. It's a matter of unity and humility and showing some maturity and good judgment. Engagement. Not disengagement. Not detachment. Engagement means we come together. Engagement means that. Now, 7 rules of engagement. Rule number one, we must all acknowledge the need for biblically qualified shepherds. We must all, number one, we must all acknowledge the need for biblically qualified shepherds. God does. Why does God invest so much time in Scripture talking about leadership if leadership is not all that crucial? Why does God invest so much time talking about elders in the church in passages like Acts 20, verses 17 through 38, 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4, 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 7, Titus 1, verses 5 through 9? These passages and many others can be mentioned. Why does God invest so much time in this? If it is a matter of indifference, one of the most telling things about any congregation is how it shows its love for Jesus and His will in the selection and in the holding up of the hands of elders who will shepherd like the Good Shepherd. Rule of engagement number one, this matter matters to God. And it ought to matter to us too. Rule of engagement number two, we must all constantly and passionately pray that the Lord's will be done. We must all constantly and passionately pray that the Lord's will be done. Your will be done, Jesus prayed in the prayer of example, Matthew 6, verse 10. Shortly before He would be betrayed, tried, and crucified, He's in the garden praying, not my will, your will be done. Matthew 26, verses 39 through 42. Again, think about this one, y'all, how practical this is. The Son of God spent the night in prayer, Luke 6 and verse 12, before He appointed the 12. And if the Son of God invested an entire night in prayer before He appointed the 12, don't you reckon we need to invest a little bit of time in praying about men who would come along, because we're not Jesus. We're not the Son of God. Think about that. Prayer is talking to God. It seems to me that if we're looking for shepherds who would shepherd like the good shepherd, there would be a lot of desire and in approaching the throne of God where there's grace and mercy to help in time of need. Hebrews 4:16. Throughout the book of Acts, there is a repeated emphasis on prayer. The church that changed the world, that turned the world upside down, Acts 17 and verse 6, is a praying church. And so we ought to pray constantly and passionately over these next few weeks that God's will be done. It's not enough for me just to try to get up and preach this, what God's will is. And this is not Mike's sermon. This is straight out of the book. It's not enough. Your will be talked about. Your will be discussed. Your will be considered. None of that is how Jesus put it. Those are important. Your will be done. Your will be done. A second rule of engagement is constant and passionate prayer. A third rule of engagement, determine that the good shepherd will be honored. We must all determine that the good shepherd will be honored in this. The good shepherd will be honored. You know, when we pray, we talk about in Jesus' name, and most typically in our prayers, it's said at the end. It can be said at any time, at the beginning of a prayer, at the middle of a prayer, and at the end of a prayer, in Jesus' name. And what it means is, to your honor and glory and authority. We acknowledge your honor and glory and authority. May this process acknowledge the Good Shepherd's honor and glory and authority from beginning to end. In Jesus' name begin, in Jesus' name continue the process of selection and acknowledging qualified men. And may it conclude with that too. 3 John verse 7 says, for the sake of the name they went forth. And we need shepherds who will shepherd like the good shepherd so that we, for the sake of the name, can go forth doing the precious will of God. Whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, in your conduct and behavior, whatever you do, do all to the glory and honor of the Lord. That's why it's not a popularity contest. That's why it's not a political election. The selection of shepherds has to do with picking men that God would approve of so that His work can be furthered. Number four. As we work our way through these seven rules of engagement, we must all deeply respect what the Word of God teaches on this subject. We must all deeply respect what the Word of God teaches on this subject. Having been through 8 to 10 of these times in my own experience, there are different misunderstandings to which people may run. In looking at the qualifications of 1 Timothy 3 or Titus chapter 1, for example, there are people among us who think that those qualifications have no bearing at all. They've totally abandoned those principles. They think it was restricted to a time, maybe in the first century. It seems to me that it's God's will that churches be scripturally organized. That hasn't changed. And the same God who wants His congregations to be scripturally organized, also it makes a whole lot of sense to think that the qualifications would be given for those who would serve in helping the church be scripturally organized. So the Greek word for people who think that there's no application whatsoever of the qualifications in passages like this is baloney. Baloney. But there's also some, on the other hand, who have the misunderstanding of the qualifications. It must be so rigidly held to, nobody could ever qualify. It's so rigidly held to that a person would have to be perfect. Here's what I'm saying, Troy. These people don't think that the Apostle Peter, who, by the way, served as an elder, 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 5, they would have said he should not have been an elder because he did not have a good reputation from those who are without. You know why he denied Jesus? And I'll even give you a little more recent event than that. Remember Galatians chapter 2 when he's guilty of prejudice and racism? It seems to me that people who make these kinds of allegations and think that you must adhere so rigidly to the qualifications that no one could ever qualify are mistakenly dooming the church to chaos. Be careful. Because I'm going to tell you, I love Terry and Lynn, but I've worked with them both for a long time, and they're going to say, Mike is not a perfect guy, and I'm going to say amen as your preacher. But they're not perfect guys either. But I tell you this about them. I'd die right now because I believe that they have sought to lead us like good shepherds should. I believe that with all my heart. That's the kind of people we're looking for. Being biblical. When you look at this, there's the misunderstanding in respecting Scripture that some people want to talk so much about some qualifications that they completely neglect other ones. This happens nearly every single time, and I'm going to tell you the ones it normally happens with. It normally happens with children. Now, that's not the only one, but it normally does. I have my own personal beliefs about this. But I want to say this. We can so emphasize that qualification that we neglect giving proper weight to the whole package. The rules of engagement are a package deal. For example, here's something that I found to be true in my experience. We can give more attention to children, believing children, than whether or not that elder is apt to teach and able to convict the gainsayer of false teaching. Now, do you see where I'm coming from? And it seems to me that one qualification is just as important as the other, and we do not have the right to just pick and choose which ones we're going to especially emphasize. Another thing to consider about the qualifications, and again, I've worked under 67 different guys. I loved them. Most of them have gone to be with the Lord. Some are still with us, thank the good Lord, and I thank God for them and their service every day. some people so emphasize the individual nature of the qualifications, and that's true, there is an individual aspect that must be properly emphasized. That they forget that there's a collective thing where every person brings their wisdom, their experiences, their background to the table. And there's a plurality of elders for a reason. Because rare indeed is a 10-talent man who has every qualification to a 10 or 12 on a scale of 1 to 10. Isn't that right? Out of 67, and I'm not the judge, they probably say this about the preacher wasn't a perfect 10. Some areas where a preacher may be stronger than others, and there's some areas where an elder may be stronger than others too, than in other areas. Think about the need to truly, deeply get into the Word of God here. Number five, we must all love the church and one another. We all must. It's a rule of engagement. Number five, we all must. This is not the time for biting and devouring one another. Galatians 5, 13 through 15. This is a time to show love for the church. I'm amazed sometimes how some of us speak of the church of Jesus. And you know who we're talking about? We're talking about the good shepherd's sheep. We're talking about the groom's bride. We're talking about the head's body. And we need to be careful how we talk about the bride of Jesus. Because Jesus will not take kindly to those who don't. Therefore, we want to show love for the church here at Westside and be grateful for His blessings and grace throughout the years and be confident that He will see us through. We want to love His church. But we want to love individual Christians. Four quick passages. Look at Matthew 7, verse 12. This whole occasion will be much better if we practice Matthew 7, verse 12. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. Amen, church. It'll be really good. Again. Look at 1 Corinthians 13. You know the love chapter? The love chapter ought to be read in its entirety in a setting like this, because initially Paul gave this to be read to the church at Corinth. There was fussing and fuming and fighting, and there was plenty of pride. And in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, he says, "Love suffers long and is kind." Throughout this process, I want to honor my Lord by showing love to brethren. I want to make sure that I am patient and kind. Is it reflecting patience? Is it reflecting kindness? Seems to me that that's a rule of engagement. Loving the church and loving brothers and sisters and speaking as kindly as we can. I love what the children sing. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say, for there's a Father up above and He's looking down in love. So be careful, little mouth, what you say. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians 2, verses 1 through 4, he talks about unity, being of the same mind and same love and affection. And he also talks about humility. Consider others more significant than yourself. That'll help us during this time. Consider others more significant than yourself. And then lastly, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. Love one another. It's not a time for animosity and hatred to come out. Love one another with a pure heart, not an impure. Love one another with a pure heart fervently. You know, if we're going to act like a bunch of ravenous wolves, I don't know of too many people that are going to want to shepherd a bunch of wolves. Number six. A sixth rule of engagement. Remember the heart of leadership. Remember the heart of leadership. The rules of engagement are crucial, and it's one reason why sometimes that these processes that are noble and having additional shepherds who will shepherd like Jesus is such a noble desire, but it's somehow the way the devil can get us off course. We need to remember the heart of leadership. And I want you to know the first place to go concerning New Testament leadership is not 1 Timothy 3:1 through 7. We need to go there. It's an important passage about the qualifications of elders. I want you to know, Kurt, that the first passage to go to is not Titus 1, 5 through 9, which is about the qualifications of elders. The first passage to go to is Matthew 20, verses 25 through 28. Turn there. Matthew 20, verses 25 through 28. This is the heart of leadership. When you get to Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 through 28, Jesus talks about how leadership, how it often is. How it often is. They lord over. They're authoritarian. While elders, shepherds have authority given to them, delegated to them, there's a difference between having this kind of authority and becoming authoritarian and coercive and twisting people's arms and manipulative. Then he goes on to say that the great ones exercise their authority. Maybe they do it through their eloquence or through rhetoric, through politics in the church. But notice what Jesus says in Matthew 20, 25 through 28. He says, "It shall not be so among you." Why? Because the good shepherd was first and foremost a servant of God. And good shepherds today who follow the good shepherd are first and foremost under shepherds of the good shepherd, Jesus. And they know that they are ultimately accountable to God Himself. Remember the heart of leadership. It's interesting that in 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter would write about this. And he would refer to pride and humility at least three times in the opening verses of 1 Peter chapter 5. And he would write that God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The heart of godly leadership is humility. And nobody displays that better than Jesus. Number seven, a seventh rule of engagement. our God, we must all see this. We must all see this. We must all see that our God is able to do exceedingly abundant above all we ask or think. Our God is able to do exceedingly abundant above all we ask or think. Unto Him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, world without end. Amen. I hope that when this process comes to a conclusion and additional men, Lord willing, are added to our eldership, we will all thank God that He did more than we asked or thought. And all to His praise and glory in the church. Now, we want to communicate with you. And our elders have been very, very helpful, I think, in making this process as orderly as it can be. There will be 7 sermons preached. This was the first one between now and July the 7th. 7 sermons. That takes us through the AM service of July the 7th. The evening service of July the 7th, we will have a prayer meeting here at our PM worship. If Jesus prayed for the apostles, we need to be praying about our leaders. No one needs to give any names to the elders right now. We are asking you to listen to all of 7 sermons. We are asking you, if at all possible, to be here July the 7th for the prayer meeting and the time of praise to God. And only at that point can you submit names to our shepherds. But we want you to take the time, be thinking about this and praying about it now. And then you may want to go at the end of the sermons, we hope. Then you may go to someone and ask them if they are willing to serve, if they believe that they are biblically qualified to serve, and is their family supportive of them serving. These are things that you really need to be thinking about, because you may have talked to somebody and then you find out later that man's wife does not want him to serve. And so you're putting him in a precarious situation, so you find out. You ask. Because we want this to be marked with clarity and Bible-centeredness and to be God-honoring. And we will tell you more through text messages and through the bulletin, as well as from the pulpit, how things will proceed. But I'll give you the end. We are praying that by August 11th, that additional men will be serving as shepherds. That's our prayer. All right? If there's anyone who's not here today, I hope you'll tell them to please listen to this lesson. I hope that you'll have them get with our shepherds. And any kind of questions, we don't want this to be a process that seems muddied. We want it to be communicative, participatory, but most of all, we want it to be biblical and God-honoring. Okay? Thank you. We're about to stand and sing our song of encouragement. Sheep wander. Sheep go astray. Sheep get lost. And one of the designations for Jesus that we ought to love the most is that He's the Good Shepherd. He saves what's lost. He seeks out the wanderer. And he finds sheep that are broken and bloodied and battered by life. And he carries them in his arms back to the fold. Who wouldn't want a shepherd like that? If you are lost and have wandered away and you're broken and hurting, the good shepherd is coming. He awaits you. Will you take a step or two so we will know? And I know the good shepherd will meet you. Through faith and repentance and baptism, if you're not a Christian, if you're lost, your sins can be washed away by the mercy and love of God. Let us stand and sing.